Hello everyone. Thank you for joining us today for this important webinar, The Happiness Equation, the key to retaining frontline talent. My name is Toma Pagoyute and I am Chief Human Resources Officer at Quinyx. Employee engagement and retention is a topic that I'm very passionate about. To be able to have the flexibility and enjoy the work-life balance is core to the overall happiness, not just at work, but at home as well. Companies that offer flexibility and provide a healthy work-life balance create a very strong work culture, offer a good working environment, and retain their talent for longer than their competition. Frontline workers are often the face of our organizations, interacting directly with customers and clients, and they play a crucial role in our society. They might be students working part-time while studying, people taking some extra jobs for summer or Christmas holiday, or emergency personnel saving lives every day. Whatever position they're in, it's key to understand their needs and challenges in order to create a supportive and productive work environment. So what is the state of the frontline workforce? Every year, we run a report on the state of the frontline workforce. And this year, we ran a survey on 13,000 frontline workers all over the world about their work life, and we wanted to share the findings with you. By the way, we will share the link to the report so you can all have access to it. So we've discovered quite a few things that are not necessarily as positive as we were hoping. We discovered that 62% of frontline workers experience work-related stress. If the workers are stressed, the quality of work will be lower. Therefore, most likely the level of the customer services will not be great, which will lead to lower productivity and lower customer satisfaction. Who wants that? Additionally, work stress carries over into the personal life. Family, social interactions, health, everyone is worse off. Employee, the company, and the customer. You may want to find out what causes the stress. So we asked our people that we surveyed, and they gave us three top responses. The three top stress triggers are lack of schedule flexibility, the cost of living, and working too many hours. It seems that the frontline workers want flexibility to be able to plan their work and personal life so one doesn't restrict the other. But if there's little flexibility, then people have to choose between earning the money and keeping the job potentially, or attending a milestone family event, which might be on the same day. Many can't control how many hours they work or when they work, and therefore it causes them a lot of stress when trying to balance it with personal commitments. Also, a lot of people shy away from asking their colleagues to swap shifts with them. They might be embarrassed or feel like they are asking too much. The ones that have the courage to ask not always get the positive response, which in turn could make the working relationship much more strenuous in the future. So considering the impact stress has on work and personal life, you would hope businesses have implemented solutions to reduce it. However, the survey respondents said 78% of them still do not have an easy way to swap shifts. It is then no surprise that 41% reported they do not have any say over the work schedule. How would you feel if you couldn't attend your parents' 30th wedding anniversary or your child's first school play? 45% reported that work schedule caused them to miss social events or holiday celebrations. And because of the lack of ability to have more control over their working time, 34% have considered quitting their jobs as work-life balance is not possible in these conditions. When frontline employees feel that their work-life balance is compromised, they may be more likely to explore other job opportunities or leave their current positions. Of course, work-life balance is a highly individualized concept. A balanced work-life situation may vary from person to person. As an employer, it's important that you consider all requirements when you do staff planning to enable a good balance between work and life for your employees. Another interesting fact is on career development. 1 in 3 workers feel they don't have any opportunities for career development. And nearly 70% of frontline workers stated that opportunities for career development would make them more likely to stay in their current job. Being stuck at work with no opportunity for development can be very demotivating. To support growth and development is essential for retaining frontline talent. It's about providing pathways for them to grow and advance within the organization. As we know, happy and content workplace leads to an engaged and loyal workforce. That in turn is a key ingredient to generating success in the organization. But what are the factors that will help contribute to a healthy workplace, and how can you make sure to stay on top of frontline engagement? We have our workforce management expert, Jack Pigeon, to talk about this. Welcome, Jack.
Hey, Toma. Thanks for bringing me in.
Hey, Jack. Great to have you here. Our first insight from the State of Frontline Workforce Report noted 62% of employees feel work-related stress. I know you looked into the specific topic in more detail. Would you mind sharing your findings?
Yeah, so work-related stress in this insight does not really limit itself to the stress that you would think would be within the start and end times of a frontline worker's shift. They have stress in their personal life because of work. So some of those example triggers that we've found are lack of schedule flexibility, not working enough hours for a living wage, or something, you know, not many people think about, but happens often, is feeling indebted to coworkers for asking to swap a shift. Maybe even because of a simple manager mistake on the schedule, or that the employee, for some reason, feels responsible to fix out of job expectations.
And some people, like I mentioned, they might ask, but then they don't get the right response or don't have courage to ask. So it can be quite tough. Mm-hmm. I know you, like I said, you're incredibly passionate about this topic and data we collected around the frontline workforce. Can you share an easier way for our listeners to get a pulse on their own workforce, to get an idea of where the culture aligns?
Yeah, so an easy thing to do is just walk into a break room and note what you see. So what's the manager doing for the employees on the wall, on the tables? What are the employees doing in the space? Then you can ask yourself, how are you investing in the employees here? Does the break room you're looking at model a sense of community? If so, you have a manager orchestrating this. The question you'll ask next is the manager doing this on their own? Or are you, as an HR professional or a corporate leader, supporting them to orchestrate this community? To answer that question, just go to another location, a store or a warehouse, and do you see consistency? Some of the same community building by that manager, or at least traces of it? If the answer is no, then your organization's probably not facilitating culture as effectively as you may think.
Okay, simple enough to try it out, I guess. But engagement and turnover are seemingly the major headlines at all HR conferences. Everyone in the HR profession understands the cost and impact the turnover has on the business, and we all would love to have a silver bullet to solve this problem. So why is it so hard to affect a positive change within a frontline workforce?
Well, there's a disconnect. It's a disconnect between what employers think employees need and what employees actually expect. Mm-hmm. And I imagine everyone tries to listen to their employees through surveys or store visits, but the question is, have we taken a moment to understand what we expect of frontline employees? So in the past, if I were applying to be a cashier, doing a good job meant being quick on the scanner and having a big smile. I knew that if I kept customers happy and moved products through the line, I could hang my hat on a job well done. But today, employees are expected to be a lot more than that. They're expected to be product experts, brand ambassadors, sales professionals, stocking experts, customer service reps, trainers, analysts, problem solvers, social media influencers, of all things, all for the same amount of pay.
Okay, so it sounds like there's a culture, expectations, and pay issue possibly. How do these all link together?
Well, there's a concept I learned at a conference called the frontline worker hierarchy of needs. So, Toma, you know, being an HR professional, you're probably familiar with the Maslow's hierarchy of needs, where shelter and food on the bottom and self-actualization at the top. Well, there's four basic levels of the frontline hierarchy of needs. And at the top, there's culture. Specifically the culture you at the corporate office live and breathe every day. So we've even met companies that start meetings with their corporate beliefs before the meeting starts. Organizations try to copy that culture into their marketing campaigns, into their customer buying habits, and more importantly, expect their frontline employees to live out that culture as easily as the corporate employees do. On the bottom of the pyramid is livelihood. Just like very, very straightforward, like the food and shelter we just spoke about. the things that are here for a frontline employee are basic benefits and pay. And most businesses get these two things pretty spot on, or at least they invest a lot in these, but they're missing two key foundations in the middle. And those are community and stability. Community says, I feel a sense of belonging. It's not, we are one big family. You're probably going to lose a lot of Gen Z employees instantly saying that. It's more that, can I say I have a friend at work? My opinions are valued. And then stability. Stability means so many different things to so many people. It may be consistent pay, it may be access to flexible shifts, or it may be a clearly defined career path, which you mentioned 70% of employees could not find, based on the statistics from our frontline workforce report.
I'm glad you were listening when I was presenting. So, culture is only achieved at all levels of the business when livelihood, stability, and community are all taken off care first, it seems.
Yeah, absolutely. Nailed
Okay.
it.
And how can then HR professionals affect the change here?
Well, to achieve a solid culture, you need an intentional strategy, which, we would expect. But in today's modern world with really dispersed frontline workforces, I think we all know that will include some piece of technology to do so. And as you choose those technologies and focus your strategies, be sure to set your culture as that guiding star. But as you may move through those programs and pick technology, make sure you start at the bottom of the pyramid in what you roll out first and move your way up that pyramid with your culture as your guiding principle for each program. So let's take a look at what that means practically. So at the bottom of the pyramid, we saw a requirement for stability. Give employees stability within the context of their expectations for stability. It's a huge theme, employee expectations throughout everything we've talked about. For some employees, this may mean strong perks like public transportation credits. For others, it may mean getting their schedules a month in advance so that they can plan their personal life for stability around that, or access to same-day wages so they have wage stability. Next in the pyramid, we saw is that level of community. Work on building communities and choose technology that enables those communities, but do not rely on those technologies to foster them alone. So we've seen customers and other organizations that have things like business resource groups. One of those might include a women's resource group at your corporate office for your corporate employees. Try to offer that to your frontline workers as well to join in the conversations alongside those corporate employees through technology like Quinnox. Customers have seen resource groups like these deployed over technology drastically decrease turnover. And finally, when you have these three foundations for livelihood, stability, and community, the culture that was the guiding star for the decisions at each level before it will sustain itself. So remember, the top of Maslow's hierarchy of needs isn't sustainable or even possible to really achieve without everything set before the top.
Very interesting, Jack. Thank you so much for sharing your insights. It seems that there is a lot of data showing the challenges for frontline workers, but there's also a lot of solutions available to be able to tackle those challenges. My key takeaways from these sessions are allow employees to have a say in their work schedules. Technology is available to do this. This will provide the flexibility and work-life balance that in turn will make them more satisfied, happy, and hopefully staying longer with the organization. And second, to what you mentioned, get a pulse of your own workers and act on their feedback. Livelihood, stability, community, if you have those items in place, then you'll have a great company culture and happy workforce. Simple, I think. Thank you so much, Jack, for joining. And thank you so much to everyone who joined us today. I hope you also picked up a few actionable takeaways and enjoyed the session.
Yeah, thanks, Toma. It's great to be here.
Bye, Jack. Bye, everyone.
Bye.